across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense here on the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's a beautiful day up north on this Tuesday, June 20th. 63 degrees up here on the lake for folks listening to 93.5 The Tap. Other temps around the state this morning include Monroe coming in at 59, Oconto 51, over in Independence 64 degrees right now, and Phillips coming in at 59 up north. Here's what's on tap this morning. Well, it's the old reverse Robin Hood again. Have you ever wondered when the legislature's Republican majority would finally issue their big, bold plans for investing the state's record $7 billion surplus in Wisconsin's future? Well, keep waiting. But it's becoming increasingly obvious that their intentions haven't changed one bit. Rob from the surplus and give to the rich. We'll have the latest on that. Also this hour, Christina Laurie has the uplift, which includes some pronouns 101 for this Pride Month. And then in our next hour, we'll again get some legislative feedback from a state legislator, Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire. We'll look at how, if you could create a wish list for how Wisconsin politicians should address the state's real problems, not the ones concocted for partisan gamesmanship, you could review the progress. There'd probably be a lot more red X's than green check marks if you were using, you know, emojis and other icons. And we'll wrap up the day checking in with Chad Holmes on things he's discussing on Bull Falls Radio in the Wausau area. Along the way, of course, your phone calls are welcome at 844-967-2789. Your written notes, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Or if you are watching this on the Up North News or the Civic Media Facebook page, leave a comment there. We might see that and pop it up on screen and respond to it as well. Aaron Zommers is with us right now down at the studio in Madison. Morning, Aaron.
Morning, Pat.
Tell me it's as glorious down there as it is up here.
It's fairly glorious. You know, it's pretty warm, not too warm. A little humid.
A little humid.
Yeah, that's about it.
Okay. It's supposed to get a little less humid compared to yesterday, but I mean, this is why we live here. No offense to folks who are winter sports enthusiasts, but really for most of us, this is why we put up with winter, is to be here during a week like this. This is just gorgeous stuff. And eventually Aaron gets to emerge from the radio cave there. And what do you do in your off time?
Well, usually I go home and I note how nice it is as I'm walking from my car to my house. I go inside and take a nap, and then then maybe spend some time outside after that.
Sure. I was outside yesterday, and it reminded me of a story that I don't think I've told yet. I've certainly mentioned plenty of times driving a Jeep and love that I can drop the top on that thing. And that's what I did yesterday. I went down to Eau Claire to have lunch with a soon-to-be new coworker that I can't wait to introduce folks to next week. But on my way down, you know how they mentioned that there were still some widely scattered, spotty showers. I don't know if you saw any of those or anywhere nearby you yesterday.
I didn't, but I'm aware of them.
As I left, I could see some off in the distance, a few high clouds here and there. And I looked at the radar, and one particular thing stuck out for me. And it was those times where a pop-up shower, but not just a pop-up shower. First, there's nothing on the radar. Then there's like a little green dot, and then a slightly bigger green dot. Then a bigger green dot with a little bit of red or orange in the middle of it. And it doesn't move. A lot of, you know, the rain often moves like from west to east, but this just stays in place. That happened to me once while I had the Jeep out and the top was down.
Ooh.
And I'm at a bar with some friends. We're having dinner, and we notice that it starts to rain, and they're saying, well, your top is down, you're gonna be okay. I'm like, yeah, they just said widely scattered stuff. It'll be fine. It'll just come and go. It did not come and go. It started coming down heavier and harder. And I finally pulled out my phone. I pulled up one of the weather apps, and sure enough, one of these green spots appears right over Lake Wasota, and it didn't move from east or west to east. It just got bigger and then red. And that's the red dot I was looking at on my phone as my Jeep continued to flood with rainwater. And, you know, all told, a good 2 inches of water settled on the bottom of that thing by the time I was driving it home with a very squishy butt.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that was fun.
You know, I came to find out the next day just that one of the many things I love, you know, having this Wrangler, and that's my third one here. I didn't do it on purpose, obviously, but when I had, you know, the next day was a hot, sunny day. And once you pull out, you know, the floor mats and things, you find all the little plugs that they include so that you can drain the water out. And so you pull those plugs, you drain the water, you let the sun bake on the seats, you wet vac, you know, some of the stuff. And I'm not saying that that was really how I wanted to spend my day, but compared to other people with convertibles and things like that, I think I got off easy. So yesterday, driving down to Eau Claire, I saw one of those little spots down to the southwest. And I thought, well, here goes nothing. And thankfully that didn't happen here. We just had another gorgeous day. And I think our rain chances become even spottier. We'll get a full forecast coming up in a bit from Weatherology here. And I will note, and you'll probably hear me harp on this a few more times, but we're at our earliest sunrise right now, 5:18 in the morning. For folks who say, I don't want to do daylight savings time. No. You want daylight savings time to be permanent. If we didn't have daylight savings time, sunrise this week would be at 4:18 in the morning. We don't want that. More after this. You're up north. Lionel Richie, who turned 74 today. We'll have more music birthdays and history notes coming up, and maybe at that point I'll try to ramble through just how many top 40, top 10 hits Lionel Richie had over the years. Man's made a little money with some good music over time. Let's see. Aaron reminds me that the new Civic Media app is out on your iPhones. Did they say the Android one was ready as well?
It is, and I have an Android phone, so now I can finally tell you firsthand. It's very nice.
Very nice. Okay, good. Yeah, I got the update here on my iPhone, and I don't want to overhype the app, but I know a really attractive blonde who listens to my show on her drive to work every morning, and you too could be, you know, an attractive person commuting to work if you were to use the Civic Media app. I'm not saying you'd be blonde, Aaron. I'm just saying the app is really good and might enhance, you know, all of your attributes.
I definitely can't say it hasn't.
There, I like that. That's very scientific. So go wherever you get your apps, the App Store, the what do they call it for Android?
Google Play.
Google Play. That's it. Thank you. And get that Civic Media app. The features, it's so much easier to pick your hometown station. And if you don't have to live in one of the stations, but you could, you know, pick the station in Madison or Bull Falls Radio in Wausau or 93.5 The Tap. And that way, every time you come back to the app, it'll come back to that station. You can listen to it live. It's got the call into the show and text the show features, right, Aaron?
Yes, and those people have been starting to make use of. On some shows I've been producing, including this one or two times, people text into the show and it just pops right into our chat that we use. So it makes it really easy for you to contact us.
I did notice that yesterday. You had told me that somebody had texted in and I had to find the right place to look. But once I found out where to look, it's like, yeah, if somebody wants to text your show that way, they can do it as well. So that app is there and make the most of it. Although what?
One thing, if you do want to text into the show and you are a regular listener, you want us to know who you are, make sure you add your name to the text. Just sign it at the end, because currently the way it's set up, it doesn't give us a name or a caller ID or anything.
Right. So, yeah, please do. I know most people don't sign their texts, but in this case, yeah, please do. If you say, you know, Bill and Lady Smith or whatever the case may be. All right, let's go to sports now, begrudgingly, because the Brewers didn't have the best night ever last night. Corbin Burns, the Cy Young Award winner from 2021, had been riding a streak of four quality starts, but that came to an end last night when he got shelled by the Arizona Diamondbacks right out of the gate, giving up six runs in the first inning en route to a Brewers 9-1 loss and a trip back to second place in the NL Central after Cincinnati beat Colorado. Why just one Brewers run? Because they matched a season low of getting only three hits the entire game. There was Christian Yelich's RBI triple in the third inning, and Yelich has reached base safely in 12 straight games now, but he's also among a small contingent of players who are both experienced and healthy. Colin Ray will start tonight's game. There's another game tomorrow afternoon at American Family Field. Then it's off on a long road trip, 10 games with stops in Cleveland, the New York Mets, and Pittsburgh. And again, you can hear tonight's Brewers game on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM across the Fox Valley, or News from the Center and Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. Our daily newsletter from Up North News is out. Our usual disclaimer that Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We're very thrilled to have these 2 hours to visit with you every day and tell you more about what my colleagues do over at Up North News. You can subscribe to the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Among the stories that Christina Lurie put in there, the UW-Madison Center for Dairy Research has a job opening for people who would like to spend their day eating and talking about cheese. It's a job with somebody who will taste up to 24 cheese samples and 12 pizzas a week and share their feedback, which will be used for research and product development. Yes, I could finally get paid for doing something I'm doing all the time anyway. Also, in today's edition, how a little research can help you get a better salary offer or a raise. And there's also my editorial on last week's middle-of-the-night vote by Republicans to kill off a critical program that had been keeping childcare affordable for working families. And so all of that is at the newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com is where you will find that and be able to sign up for our newsletter there. Aaron, I've been through Crandon. I'm familiar with the Northwoods, of course. I'm not disparaging Crandon in any way, shape, or form when I say this. I know I'm not the first person who's looked at this headline and said, Kiss is about to perform in Crandon, but it's their end of the road tour, and Crandon is going to be one of their last stops at the Crandon International Raceway on September 1st.
Well, I'm sure there will be people who go. I will not be one of them.
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, look, we have the Northern Wisconsin State Fair here in Chippewa Falls. And again, you see acts come up and you say, yep, they've been around for a while, that they're finally getting to Chippewa Falls or Crandon or Manitowoc or whatever the case may be. And Kiss has been doing this since 1973, 50 years together. And hence the end of the road tour is what they call it. As it's been going on since 2019, but was delayed due to COVID. And yeah, they're going to do the Crandon International Raceway in celebration of the new Rock and Brews restaurant inside the Pottawatomie Casino. The tribe is a leading sponsor of the extra stop for the band. And so again, of all the many live music offerings that we have, all of the regular venues all around the state, you can add Crandon to that tour, to that list for one last stop for Kiss along the way. I got to say, back in the mid-70s, did not see them hanging around for 50 years. But yeah, they sure proved me wrong.
Definitely. I know a lot of people who were around then, obviously I was not, but who said that they were just a novelty act, and yeah. I tend to agree. But it's still kind of sad seeing all these groups that were once huge going into these really small venues now, and you know that they're probably still not going to sell out.
In some cases they don't. And yeah, in some cases people age differently. And I have definitely heard people who don't sound nearly as good as they used to. I mean, heck, I don't, I sing to myself in the car. I know what's happened to my voice over time. But some people, and I often use Johnny Rivers as an example. Here's a guy whose hits were in the 60s, and he was in Chippewa a couple years back, And I almost would have sworn it was, you know, a voice track that he was lip syncing it, but he wasn't. And he kept his pipes working that well. So, you know, good on him for being able to do it. And again, so many live music options. Like I mentioned the ones at the Liney Lodge over the weekend, some of the local bands that were there. So folks, get out, support the bands, and support some live music. Well, let's turn to headlines for the state. And to do that, I think we're starting to fill in some blanks on what's going to happen with your Wisconsin legislature as they start to wrap up the work on a state budget for the next 2 years. A note from Scott Bauer of the Associated Press notes that the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee never put out a notice that they were going to meet today. They've typically been meeting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Scott writes, the expectation is it will meet on Thursday to finish work on the budget, including an expected tax cut and a postponed decision on UW system funding. So that's when the light bulb starts to go off and you go, okay, I see where you're going on this. First off, let's take care of the postponed decision on UW system funding. Again, this should be something pro forma. This should be something, yes, our UW system is important. It's vital for job creation. But Republicans over the past decade have completely politicized and diminished the role of higher education because there are things they don't like about the UW system because of the politicians' own ideological and you know, culture warfare priorities that it has, as we mentioned yesterday, severely crimped UW system support, meaning we're going to lose many of the best and brightest to other states. And as we know, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is threatening to cut the UW system budget at a time with a $7 billion surplus. Cut it because he says he's ashamed to be a UW graduate because the UW system is embracing racial diversity and inclusion and all of whatever motivations are behind that. So for that reason, the UW system budget hasn't been completely nailed down yet. And people are wondering if they're setting things up for a veto showdown with Governor Tony Evers. But now the other half of that note from Scott Bauer, finishing work on the budget, including an expected tax cut. And that's where we note that there never has been a big plan, an encompassing plan from Republicans about the state surplus. And we have been talking about this for well over a year now, that we knew that when it was going to be time to write the state budget in June of 2023, there was going to be a surplus because of the way Governor Evers and others helped shepherd the state economy through the pandemic and through federal pandemic aid. And yet, Republicans sat on it all of last year, not investing any of it in making anything better, because they'd hoped that Tim Michaels would defeat Governor Evers last November, and then they could use almost all of that $7 billion for a massive tax cut. Well, that didn't happen. Governor Evers got reelected. So again, Republicans have had ample opportunity to show that they could work with a governor from an opposing party, put Wisconsin first over their party, and come up with a plan. Still no plan. What we've seen instead are contentious fights, often over social issues from Republicans. And as we're running out of time, it appears they're just going to take whatever is left when the budget is done and turn that into a tax cut, which will almost assuredly, again, target the wealthiest companies and individuals first. Well, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, their patrons, puppets, whatever you want to call it, they put up a tweet yesterday with a map of the Midwest saying that what the priority should be and what Republicans are working on is making the tax code more competitive to help address Wisconsin's severe worker shortage. And there was a whole bunch of gobbledygook about how states with tax rates below 5% see greater population growth from domestic migration than states at or above 5%. What a bunch of gobbledygook to distract from the core issue that your own young people are leaving you. Now, look, if you actually do want domestic migration from other states, those folks don't give a rip about state income tax brackets. They want things like a quality college of engineering, which Republicans rejected. And they want things like options for quality childcare, which they killed. And you don't want to compare on a map yourself to Minnesota, which does have a higher rate, but has consistently outperformed Wisconsin on every economic measure since Republicans took over a decade ago. We'll take a break for Christina Lurie to give us the uplift next. You're up north.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
It is now time for The Uplift with Christina Lurie, my colleague from Up North News. She puts together that daily newsletter. You can sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click newsletter in the top banner. Christina, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me back.
We are going to talk about a couple of things that are starting this week. There's summer, and of course, there's Summerfest. Now, Summerfest is something that's spread over multiple weekends now, not like it used to be. You can go over to summerfest.com to get all the latest information, but you're going to tell us about some new food there, some ways to save money, just ways to make it worth your while if you're going either this coming weekend or one of the following two weekends.
Are you a Summerfest regular, Pat? Have you been?
No, when we lived there, again, way some time back, it was, of course, a must-do if you live in the area. I think I've only been down there once in the past many years, and that's only because my daughters wanted to see a particular act there. So it's on my bucket list to get back to, because I hear it's as big and as good as it ever was.
Yeah, I haven't really been into any of the most recent lineups, but there really is something for everyone if you do go there, and the prices are still pretty affordable. We put together a little guide of how to save money, so you'll be able to find that on our website. But something that, you know, maybe you're not like blown away by any of this year's acts, but you'll probably be blown away by this year's food, because there's some stuff that was making me hungry writing the story, Pat. There are bacon cheese fries. There is a Flamin' Hot Cheetos cheese steak, which anytime you add Cheetos to anything, that just amps it up. Mm-hmm. With the heat, I'm just enticed. Cedar Crest ice cream, Wisconsin made. They're offering ice cream flights this year, which sounds really perfect. You can get four mini scoops and try different flavors. They're kind of similar to the chocolate shop, where they have probably 30 different flavors that they offer. So that sounds great. And then for the beer lover, there are 12 new tap brews from Terrapin, Hop Valley, and of course, Line and Kugels on tap there. So those are just like very the surface level new stuff. But then we also decided to do a breakdown of what we're calling the five most iconic summer fast foods. And I know whenever we do these best of lists, we're just inviting controversy, because people always have their own opinions. But I will just give you a little taste. See what I did there?
I did.
Of just two of them on the list, because I don't want to give the whole list away. But we, of course, had to throw in Mater's Jumbo Pretzel, because it's called a snack, which only in Wisconsin would a jumbo pretzel be labeled as a snack, because it is massive. It's easily split between two or three people, and that's like very, very easily. I always hate when, you know, the serving size says like, you know, this bag of chips is for two people, and it's like, no, that's just a regular bag of chips. This pretzel definitely serves a group. And also is something that like is a little more niche if you are not a Summerfest regular, is Venice Club's fried eggplant strips. These might not sound great if you're not like super into vegetables. Trust me, you'll never know the difference. These fried veggies are honestly as good as fried cheese or dough. They're amazing. They're salted, rolled in seasoned flour, shaken, deep fried, and then served with parm and marinara. So those are two of the five on our list. But if you subscribe to our newsletter, it'll be in our Thursday morning special Summerfest edition. So I'll do a little plug early, Pat.
There you go. And again, as far as Summerfest itself goes, I was just looking at the main headliner lineup at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. And yeah, there's something for everybody there, from Eric Church and Zach Brown, James Taylor, Dave Matthews, Jimmy Buffett, Imagine Dragons, on and on it goes. I've seen Jimmy Buffett at Alpine Valley. That'd be kind of fun to see him at Summerfest. So I might have to reconsider some plans here.
Jimmy Buffett shows are, they just never disappoint. He's one of those really electric live performers. And the movement of just one weekend to an entire like 3-weekend stint was one of those pandemic pivots. I know we bring that up a lot, that really went well. You know, they decided to space it out, to space out crowds. And it's really, I mean, it's just a giant moneymaker for the city of Milwaukee. Now they've expanded their festival weekends. People are able to book more affordable hotel rooms, but hotels are still filling up for 3 weekends instead of just one. I think that was like a really, really positive change.
Yeah, I think it's something that they would not have necessarily tried, you know, on their own, because they'd say, why would we mess with a good thing? But by like other things during the pandemic, you had to try something different, and some things turned out to be an improvement, and they took. So you have Summerfest, so you got to have summer. And so for the first day of summer this week, you say that there are some places offering some deals out there.
Yes. Potbelly's, Wendy's, McDonald's, Dairy Queen, Jamba Juice, they're all offering free or cheap deals, you know, things like free fries when you buy a regular meal and upgrade to a bigger size. Dairy Queen and Jamba are offering discounts because it's also National Smoothie Day, which makes sense. It coincides with the first day of summer because it's going to be warmer here. But we put together a little list of what you can get for free. And then before we totally flip seasons, if you have any spring cleaning still left to do, these are the, you know, last few hours of spring. We also have a list of great places to donate your clothes, shoes, and more that are not Goodwill, because a lot of times Goodwill sells them to people who don't necessarily need that. I mean, it's a great option too. They're doing great work. But other places like homeless shelters, refugee organizations, Wisconsin has a really cool program called Books to Prisoners. If you have any leftover books, they are, you know, encouraging people to break the cycle of recidivism by donating great quality books to people who are in prisons. Animal shelters also need towels, washcloths, hand towels. So we have a whole list of stuff that you might have in your house and where it can go and make the biggest difference in Wisconsin. So that's a good way to kick off the first day of summer by doing something good and decluttering.
And as somebody who has turned their house upside down for this carpeting project and has had to empty out all manner of storage closets, these are some good ideas that I will be looking for, because there's a lot of stuff that I don't want to put back into those closets if I don't have to.
Yeah, it always feels good when it's done.
It never does. No, it's a work in progress, but it will be done soon. And of course, we're still in Pride Month as well. And it has, you know, led to a few different discussion points, one of which involves pronouns, proper use of them, and, you know, and why. And I think the why is especially important. It's a way to show respect and you know, feeling inclusive to somebody. And so I think a little pronoun 101 is especially helpful.
Yes. And what always frustrates me about this is that there's always a group of people that are just for the heck of it, not using the correct pronouns. They can't be bothered. They don't want to use they, them. We've been using she and him forever. You know, why are we going to change? You know, and their argument is they're just a word. Why are they so hurtful? And my question back to them is, why are you so angry about something if it is just a word? So yeah, exactly. We decided to do a little pronoun 101. And help people out. So basically, first, just the basics of what is a pronoun. Pronouns are the words that people use to identify a person in place of their name. And in the English language, they typically differ by gender. So she, her, and hers for me, a woman, and for you, Pat, a man, he, him, and his. But then it gets a little more complex, because there are people that prefer they, them, or theirs, whether they've, you know, transitioned, they're bisexual, they're questioning their gender identity. For whatever reason, they don't need a reason at all, but they prefer they, them, theirs. So that's why there's this ongoing movement now where a lot of people, you might have already seen in your email, under your signature, a lot of people are adding their pronouns. So mine will say Christina Lori, she, her, hers.
If you did not know somebody's gender, and I just mean like you did, you just heard that say something happened to a person in a news story, you know, you would in the olden days, you would just always, default to he, because, you know, that was gender normative sexism that was built into the language. But nowadays, if you don't know the gender of a person, we just naturally say they anyway. So it's not that tough to use they for others. And if it sounds a little odd that you're using they for the singular, just take note, you know, Merriam-Webster and other dictionaries have already included they as a word to describe an individual. It's okay. And what you don't want to be doing is misgendering, you know, when you intentionally use incorrect pronouns. There's no valid reason for that.
Yes, I completely agree. It's disrespectful. It's also a lot of times the same group of people that were intentionally mispronouncing the Vice President Harris's name during the last election cycle. It's just a matter of respect. And at the most basic level, it's a name. Use the person's name whenever you can. I always prefer when people call me Christina instead of, you know, what is she doing? Just use our name. But if you're not going to use the name, you need to get the pronoun right. So we did a little breakdown, and we know this is new information. So for anyone who's open to this and ready to learn, you might have a few mistakes and you might misgender people accidentally on first. Of course, you always have to go back to what the intention is. You know, I'm never offended if somebody, it's, you know, people forever have been calling me Christine, and that frustrates me because that's not my name. But if the intention isn't wrong, I don't care. And it's the same kind of thing, but on a much larger, much more expansive scale.
Yeah. And if you misgender somebody and they, you know, let you know, don't make a big deal about it. Just apologize and then move on and get it right after that. It's just good manners, folks. I don't know how else to put it. And getting the name right, by the way, also very important. My mother-in-law's name is Elizabeth, but you better not ever call her Elizabeth or you're going to get a look. She only goes by Betty. I know a Beverly that bristles if anybody calls her Bev. In my case, Pat, Patrick, whatever works. But it's nice to know there's a place I shouldn't go with you, Christina.
Yes, thank you. You know, it's just a kind of a matter of, I think that people, it just shows that they don't really care or they're trying to be nicknamey too soon, which I also don't like. I've always been Christina, no shortening, full thing.
Christina Lori's email is Christina Lori, all one word. She spells Christina with a C-H and it's L-O-R-E-Y. And you can find that at upnorthnewswi.com and also on our social media feeds, where I'm sure you'll see her name and some of the posts as we put things up to bring you some uplifting stories throughout the course of the week. Christina, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me back, Pat.
And to pick up where we were talking about earlier on Summerfest and some of the food deals and things there, Aaron, you being a Madison person by way of Manitowoc, I don't know if you have much of a Summerfest history. Will you get out there over these next couple of weekends for music or other such folderol?
I haven't been planning on it, but I also honestly haven't really looked. I've been to Summerfest once. I went there to see Panic at the Disco and Weezer co-headlining, which was fun.
You know what? You know, linking back to something we talked about earlier, I think you'll get a chance to see them again when they mark 50 years of touring together. It might be up in Crandon or someplace, but ask yourself this, which one really can stay together for 50 years, Panic at the Disco or Weezer? Because you wouldn't have said that about Kiss as we established back then, but...
Weezer, no question. Weezer. Panic at the Disco already has added members or gone back to just Brendan Urie, just the lead singer. And I don't even know if it's him or other people right now, but as far as sticking together as a group, Weezer.
And here's my other not so bold prediction. They can try to do for the next 50 years that remake of Toto's Africa, and they're still not going to get people to say, oh yeah, that's a totally different, that's a great original version.
It's just not. It's terrible.
It's not, it's just underwhelming. Hey, wanted to pass on a listener comment from our Facebook feed. We were talking earlier about the UW system and the legislature continuing to threaten funding. Mary S.J. writes about how, as we said, the UW is respected around the world. She was at her son's wedding in Seoul in 2017. Daughter-in-law worked at the George Mason University campus there in Seoul, South Korea. Professors attended the wedding. During introductions, her son and father said they attended UW Superior. The professors were impressed and recognized the UW regardless of where it was in the state. Truer words never spoken, and it's something that legislators are continuing to fight for and will deal with during this ongoing budget battle, about which we will talk to State Representative Jody Emerson coming up at 7:30 about all the latest from Madison. But it's time for a history lesson and music break. That's up next. You're up north. Oh, those musical notes from John Williams that used to terrify swimmers back in the day. Jaws opened in theaters on June 20th, 1975, and began the trend of summer blockbusters. I wouldn't know. I didn't see it. I turned 11 at that point. I was swimming in, I think, Lake Phelan in St. Paul at the time, and you know, we'd all joke about it, but we were pretty sure a shark wasn't going to get us there. But imagine how many people did not swim at the beach over the next couple of summers because of that movie.
Oh yeah, I'm sure plenty didn't, and probably good on your parents for not having them watch you that movie at age of 11.
No, I do recall somebody, must have been my mom, was the book by Peter Benchley, of course, was all the rage leading up to the movie. And I think she left the paperback version lying around, and I got through chapter one. You know, again, as an 11-year-old, I was a little intrigued about the part it kind of starts with, you know, this couple, and I think they're skinny dipping or something like that. So when you're 11, it's like, tee-hee. And then by the time I'm at the end of chapter one, I'm done. I'm done with the book, and I probably was done swimming for a little while because of what happened after that. All right, birthday time. Chet Atkins was born this day in 1924. You're going to hear Canned Heat in the background. He passed away in 2001. Chet Atkins was instrumental in developing the Nashville country sound. He was known as Mr. Guitar, Country Gentleman. You could always tell a Chet Atkins tune when it came around. Born this day 99 years ago. It was on this day in 1972 during the Watergate scandal that this would have to be 1973. Let me double check that. But this was the day that an 18 and a half minute gap appeared in a tape recording of conversations between President Richard Nixon and his advisors regarding the arrest of operatives while breaking into the Watergate complex. This was before people knew that Nixon had set up a process to secretly tape conversations in the Oval Office. And when investigators into Watergate went back and discovered the taping system and found this gap, it did not help Richard Nixon's case at all. Another birthday in music from 1945. Anne Murray turned 78 today.
Spread your tiny wings and fly away. And take the snow back with you where it came from on that day.
One of those Canadian national treasures, Anne Murray, 78 today. The thing that anybody my age who was a disc jockey back then, we loved Snowbird. Not so much the song, but it was always the shortest song in our stack of records. And you always had to back time the hour to the top of the hour news. And so you could back time something that was 2 minutes and 5 seconds, much easier than something else. Brian Wilson turns 81 today. We'll hear a little of his Beach Boys work coming up. We told you about Lionel Richie turning 74. Actor John Goodman turns 71. Now, folks know him from a lot of different roles, of course, starting with Roseanne. But Aaron, when I was looking at that, all that came back to me, and I went back and looked at it on YouTube. John Goodman had a guest appearance on The West Wing. He played, you know, basically the arch enemy of President Bartlet. He was a Republican Speaker of the House named Glenn Allen Walken. And in one of the more dramatic plot twists, the president's daughter, Zoe, played by Elizabeth Moss, had been kidnapped. The president, Bartlett, knew that he could not make rational decisions on what to do about this. And so he signed over his powers, because the vice presidency was vacant at the time, signed it over to his nemesis. And just the dramatic way that Aaron Sorkin set it up of John Goodman and this pack of advisors walking down the Capitol corridors and then the White House corridors. And I mean, if you were into the show at the time, you felt that moment in your throat, that there's this presidential daughter kidnapping, having to turn power over to your nemesis, John Goodman filling the role perfectly, where he's like, I don't like you, but I'm going to put the country first and do the right thing. And it just reminded me why people fell in love with the show at that point. John Goodman has been a great guest star character actor in whatever you drop him in.
Oh, absolutely. He can get it done. That's for sure.
Yep. Now, this day in 1978, Foreigner released their second album, Double Vision, including this title track. Let's see, Hot Blooded was also one of the singles off that album. On this day in 1975, Neil Young released his sixth studio album, Tonight's the Night. A birthday today for John Taylor, 63 years old, the bassist from Duran Duran, co-founder of Power Station. Actress Nicole Kidman is 56 years old today. A couple of notes from the daily newsletter from Up North News. 3 years ago today, on this day in 2020, the headline was, Milwaukee School Board Cuts Ties with Police. School board members have voted to cut ties with the officers who patrol outside the schools, the school board voting unanimously late Thursday. This, of course, was in the wake of the murder of George Floyd by police in Minneapolis. Milwaukee police issued a statement during the meeting saying it, quote, fully supports the school district if it decides to remove the police and agrees, quote, funding should be reinvested into our public school system to support social services. And yet here we are 3 years later with Republican politicians outside the city of Milwaukee interfering and mandating that police officers go back into a place where both they and the school district agreed was not the best scenario. But that's your Wisconsin legislature at work. 2 years ago today in 2021, the U.S. Supreme Court, in a 7-2 ruling, rejected yet another Republican-led lawsuit supported by former President Donald Trump that sought to invalidate the entire Affordable Care Act. That decision protected some 2.5 million Wisconsinites from being denied insurance due to pre-existing conditions. And yet to this day, that same Wisconsin legislature is blocking a part of the Affordable Care Act, and that would be the expansion of Medicaid so that more people could have stable and affordable health care coverage. It's why all of these things, you know, continue to be so important, why every legislative election matters. Aaron, the story that bothers me the most in the news today, and I don't want to dwell on it too much just because it's just too, it's almost too depressing or terrifying to mention, but there's that submersible vessel that was exploring the wreckage of the Titanic that has gone missing.
Yeah. Sometimes you just pay $250,000 to get bolted into a tube and drop down to the bottom of the ocean. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, here's $250,000. Please put me in my tomb while I'm still alive. And yes, drop me to one of the deepest part, 12,500 feet below the North Atlantic Ocean, about 400 miles off the coast of Newfoundland, with five people aboard. There is a search effort. There is enough oxygen in there for 3 to 4 days. It's been, just about 3 days now. So I can't even imagine what that is like. But again, they'll continue looking for it. But that's something where I hate to, I don't mean to sound crass, but when they say you puts down your money and you takes your chances, you end up just like about 1,500 people on board the Titanic. State Representative Jody Emerson is joining us in the next hour here on Up North News Radio for this Tuesday.